So Cape Town managed to avoid day zero, but there are parts of South Africa that certainly have not, particularly several Karoo towns in the Eastern Cape that have run out of water. Boreholes and dams have dried up, taps have even run dry, and rain stays away, reducing farms to dust and threatening communities. I'd asked for a clip that I wanted to play for you today. I saw a person who actually lives in one of these places out in the Karoo was going viral on Twitter, whose child is, I think, 18 months, and seeing as they haven't seen rain in 2 years, was actually shocked at when it started to drizzle. And was screaming outside. It was quite a powerful highlight as to how rare rain has been. Now, the Maverick citizens spent last week in the towns of Graaffreinet, Bedford, Makanda and Adelaide. And many residents have been wondering why Cape Town's water crisis got so much national attention while they got so little. Estelle Ellis was the reporter for Maverick Citizen on this particular story and joins me now. Good morning, Estelle. Estelle? All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I was just gonna pull up your article and start reading.
That would probably be better than speaking to
me. No, not at all. Please, you know, this is quite an important topic. I think for those of us in the metros and maybe who don't focus as much on the peri-urban or more rural areas of the country further afield, we might not be paying close attention to how important this water provision is on a day-to-day basis and to people's very survival. Please, would you take us through some of what you saw on your trip through these cities?
Sure. So we visited specifically the towns of Bedford, Adelaide and Graaffreinet. And I must say, I was really shocked. You know, when you see an old lady counting out her last change for a bottle of water just to drink it, there's something that shifts in your heart, because you just think, how can people suffer like that? So the drinking water, I think that is the main... Look, the water crisis in general is dire in these towns, but the absence of drinking water is an absolute crisis. So... the water that is being provided for household use by the municipalities mm-hmm. are completely undrinkable. They're salty. It looks like it's brown. It looks like a brown sludge. And, you know, when we have to take a pill, for example,
yes.
we never think of, we just open the tap and take a drink of water and then you can have your pills. But if you are in one of these towns, you have to go buy water to drink your pills. And the... I think it's, you know, I saw so many old people and children and moms with babies who need to make formula or need to make baby food that are really struggling because they're too scared to give this brown water to their children.
Right.
And there have been reports of people collapsing because they're not drinking water or they are, they drank the bad water. And, you know, it's just, and the sense that one gets is that these communities that are already under so much pressure because of unemployment, of crime, maybe alcohol abuse, that the fact that there is no water has really made, added to the instability in a, you know, people are angry and you can feel it. If we, I covered a few emergency water sessions where Gift of the Givers came to yes. hand out bottles of water. And you can feel the anxiety and the pressure, you know, when people see, oh no, the water's running out and we're at the back of the line. And, you know, sometimes it's often the older people who are last in line because they don't walk so fast. So because the kids are running, you know, when they see the trucks. What? But the older people can't walk so fast, so they stand at the back. And these people are so lovely and you just want to give them a hug because they're just so sad and they're in such crisis. But it really is, drinking water has become a massive crisis.
Yeah, and it's such a critical, obviously, daily requirement. Just talk to me about the people running and the old people sort of falling behind. Is there not some sort of a rationing system, or does the does Gift of the Givers not partner with the municipalities? I know they had an issue in Makanda.
Yes. Now, look, they try their absolute best. They've got these young guys that are looking after the older people. Okay. They try to, you know, they carry their water home for them. If they see an old lady, they're such lovely young men, they'd like shout, "No, Oma, don't run. You're going to break a hip. No, Oma, we'll come to you." And they really try their best. But I think the problem is if you're not in the line, they don't know about you. So a lot of them are you know, and it's, they have to walk quite far distances as well to get to the water. There was a lady called Maria Roy in one of these towns who, you know, she's so frail. She just had surgery. And if she needs to go, she's in her 70s, but to get water for her, that's 2 kilometers. And she can't walk.
On foot?
I mean, she just, yes. So, and then, you know, if they, I mean, I'm not sure I can carry 10 liters of water.
No. I mean, these are the kind of fears we were having, you know, when we were approaching day zero, for example, that it was almost going to be a Mad Max kind of life, where we'd all be jockeying to try and get this very critical, resource for survival, and that it would end up, you know, in some respects, maybe even like we saw in Makanda, where we saw the municipality taking advantage of the situation. I'm just curious as to, outside of Makanda in itself, the other towns, Graaf-Reinet, Bedford, Adelaide, where are the representatives of those towns, the government ones?
Yeah, they've been shockingly silent. I think in our further stories that I am doing on the drought, we are speaking to the farmers associations, and we're trying to get answers from government, both on local level, provincial level. And we're met with a resounding silence at the moment. About this crisis. You know, I think there is an assumption that maybe the Karoo is like a semi-desert and it is a dry place. But once you see the reservoir of a place like Graaf-Reinet, not the reservoir, but the main dam for Graaf-Reinet, is completely dry. It's just full of dead fish. There is no water left in the whole dam. Not even a drop of water. I've never seen anything like that. And it's shocking.
So has you taken some of this feedback to authorities? I don't know, the National Department of National Water and Sanitation. If we're not getting any love from a local perspective, or, I mean, I think that the provincial government is not really well capacitated itself, right?
Yeah. So it is to declare a drought emergency is a provincial competency.
Mm-hmm.
So it is for them to take the first steps to access extra funding to deal with this, and they haven't done it yet. I must say, and I want to compliment the municipality for the Bedford Adelaide area.
Mm-hmm.
The representatives of the councillors have taken a decision that they are going to set their political differences aside and just work for water. And because Bedford must split its water with Adelaide, they have what I think is now known as water shedding. So people only have about 4 hours of water a day. But they've handled it well. You know, they made a plan and they've done it. And when you speak to them, you're under the very deep impression that how they really understand that water is a human right and that people can't be without water. And but they're also waiting for the provincial government. It's like everyone's just waiting for the provincial government to do something.
That premier has been sitting in that seat for a decade.
Yeah, no, it's not just Oscar Mbonyane.
Oh, sorry. Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm hoping to get some answers today, so maybe people can watch Maverick Citizen tomorrow and see if we've received some answers from the premier. The other department almost never gets a compliment, but let me give one, is that the Department of Health, hospitals, their water plan is the other thing that works quite well.
Is that right?
But then, you know, the problem is then the clinics come to ask for drinking water for patients to take their pills because the clinics haven't, there's no water for people once they go home to take their pills. And, you know, if you're a TB patient, that's a whole handful of pills that you must take.
You can't just swallow
that. Yeah.
What can we do sitting here in the Western Cape, besides hoping to try and mobilize government, which you clearly are doing? Maybe is it supporting Gift of the Givers? Or?
Yes, I think Gift of the Givers do take donations of drinking water. And then once they have a truck full, they bring it. You can donate to a town. like Cropernet or Bedford or Adelaide. But also, I think there are a whole lot of local initiatives that are also collecting drinking water, I think, is the biggest crisis. Somebody was in touch this morning to say that there's like a purification powder that you can put in borehole water that can make it drinkable. So maybe if we, I don't know who is it that makes these things, but maybe they can help as well. And then I think there are a few little initiatives on the go to support farmers, both emerging and established farmers, and also their wives, because I think they are really in an economic crisis. The farmers are on their knees. You know, a farmer was telling me how, you know, I asked him how much does it cost to feed, you know, like one animal because the grass doesn't have any nutritional value anymore. And you could, he sort of just rattled off the math to me. And I thought, oh, you've done this math like 1,000 times. I can hear it. And the amounts are astronomical. So I understand that the farmers, they've reduced their flocks to where, or their herds to where they can. And the animals are dying.
And they become their priority to receive water.
Yes, and they are in they're in dire straits. So I think if you are, look, Gifts of the Givers is a reputable organization.
Yes.
But there are others. I think there's Droogtehulp, that you can find on Facebook. They're quite active.
Okay.
And there's a lot of the agricultural organizations. Think of Vroue Landbouwvereniging. They've got a beautiful project to make boxes for farmers' wives to just help with people's emotional state as well. You know, it's always nice to receive a box of maybe chocolates and a few treats and something nice. You know, like, because I think the women are also struggling because they have to also keep things going.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Estelle. It's a very terrible note to end on. I apologize, but good to know that there are people who are out there. Thank you for bringing our attention to this. And we'll obviously have the take the opportunity to either go to Gift of the Givers, Droogtehulp of Vroue Landbouw. Vrystaat Vroue Landbouw, that one.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Okay.
Have a good one.